All right, it's December the 20th, 2015. It's wonderful to see everyone here this beautiful Lord's Day. I really enjoy singing those Christmas songs, even the one that James didn't know real well. But it's just an exciting time to be able to praise our Lord and sing the songs that so much of us grew up with and in the holiday seasons and so forth. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much, James. We've been studying in the Bible with regard to love. And as you all know, we've spent a lot of time looking at verses in the Bible that speak of love. And they speak of how we are to love and so forth and so on. So I thought then it might be real prudent for us to begin to study how we do that ourselves. And the best example that I could possibly come up with would be Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the epitome of love. There is no greater example, nor will there ever be, of the love that Jesus showed us when He was on this earth and the sacrifice that He gave on that cross, and He still loves us today and intercedes for us, the Bible tells us. So then I have a question for us this morning. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Now, at first glance, you might think, well, that's kind of an odd question. But hopefully by the time that we get through this lesson, you'll understand the relevance of my question this morning. I'd like for us to begin by looking at our scripture reading in our overhead. So read along with me, if you will. We find that in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 15. And the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. For their ears they scarcely hear. With their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." Christ here is quoting prophecies in Isaiah. And we want to make application with regard to those prophecies and regard to those scriptures. Who has seen Jesus? They saw Him. They were there with Him. They actually were at His feet. They walked with Him. They saw Him, but they did not understand. They did not understand Him. They didn't understand His nature. And they didn't understand His mission. And so, this is the ultimate reason that He was rejected by the people then. They didn't understand. If they had seen Him, if they had truly understood His nature and His mission on this earth, why, you and I both know, the majority would have received Him. But they didn't. Upon close inspection of the Gospels, it is absolutely amazing the number of people who did not see Jesus Oh, they saw Him with their eyes, but they didn't perceive who He really was. You compare that number of people who did see Jesus compared to the number who didn't see Him, and there's a tremendous gap there. And the saddest note this morning is all those that did not see Jesus as He really was, they actually thought they did see Him. They actually believed that they did see Him. But the reality is they didn't. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't see His nature. They didn't see His mission. Well, when there were so many, so very many that thought they actually saw Jesus, who literally been at His feet, walked with Him, heard Him speak, saw the miracles that He performed, and they thought they'd seen Him. And there are those that could have studied His life intimately with Him. Right there. But they didn't see Him. And so the question is, for us today, is it possible for us to think that we see Jesus today, but we really don't see Him? We really do not see Jesus? Is that possible? Well, these are the things that I want us to look at this morning, and I'm going to hopefully be looking at this for the next few Sundays. And hopefully we'll be getting some answers to these questions. I want to begin this study this morning then with those who thought that they saw Jesus, but they really didn't. And the important question to keep asking ourselves is, are we those who think that we see Jesus, but we don't? So the first character I want to look at, and by the way, you'll expect to see some of these characters, but some of them that you won't, that we'll look at, you just may be really surprised. Herod the king. You'll remember him in Matthew chapter 2. You'll remember when he learned of the birth of Christ. What did he do? Herod saw Jesus as a political threat. He saw Jesus who would grow up and become a political threat to the Roman Empire and to him personally. And so he decreed that all of the babies be literally slaughtered in Bethlehem. You see, Herod didn't really see who Jesus was. He saw him as something other than his true nature and his true mission. Jesus' friends in Nazareth is the next people I want to look at. They were there with Jesus as he grew up. Mark chapter 6 tells us of Jesus' return to Nazareth. And so read along with me in verse 1 and 2 and 3 of Mark chapter 6. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. You see, these people saw Jesus only as the carpenter's son. These were Jews. They had been raised and taught the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the parables. Jesus is there teaching, and they're amazed at his teaching. They're amazed at his miracles. And what do they say? This is not the carpenter's son. They felt he should not be different than them. That's exactly what they were thinking. He grew up amongst them. They couldn't see who he really was. Now let's take a look at the 5,000. Do you remember those? Anybody that's read the Gospels, we know the 5,000 that Jesus fed. We find that in John chapter 6. This is the record of the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the basics of this story are familiar to all of us. But even after witnessing this miracle, the people did not see the true nature of Jesus. They determined to make him an earthly king. Now we know that from reading John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. They recognized that this was undoubtedly the prophet, but why did he come? To be a political king, to free them from Rome? That's what they thought. They didn't understand his mission at all. Their zeal was so great, in fact, that the next day they crossed the Sea of Galilee, seeking to crown him again. We read about that in verses 15 through 24 of chapter 6 of John. Then, of course, I'd like for us to take a look at the scribes in Capernaum. The scribes in Capernaum. We read about them in Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. The scripture says, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" These were the spiritual leaders. They saw Jesus as a troublemaker, one who blasphemed by placing himself equal to God. Now I want to stop here just a moment to inject something that really isn't relevant to this lesson, but it's an important point that we should make. Jesus said, with regard to all of us, "If you're not willing to pick up your cross and follow me daily, you're not worthy of me." Jesus was believed to be a troublemaker by these people. As long as we understand God's word correctly, and as long as we apply it correctly, there will always be those that see us as troublemakers. But we're in the best company that we could ever be in if we're in the company with Jesus when it comes to that. Well, I want us now to take a look then at the Pharisees in Jerusalem. We'll get to this verse in a moment. John tells us of a remarkable conversion, a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees in Jerusalem. We see that in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 59, but we really don't have the time to take to read all of those verses here this morning, so I invite you to do that when you do have the time. Look closely at those verses. Notice that Jesus answers every one of their questions and accusations that they make against him. They regarded Jesus even as one susceptible to suicide. That's what verse 22 says. So the Jews were saying, "Surely he will not kill himself, will he?" Now that wasn't a compliment at all. Notice what they said in verse 25. So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" He's been telling them from the beginning who he is, but they can't listen. Oh, they hear, but they don't comprehend. Jesus is telling them, but they don't grasp it. Here's what the Scripture says in verse 27 of that same chapter. They did not realize that He had been speaking to them about the Father. There was so much they didn't realize because they had preconceived ideas with regard to Jesus. They saw Him as one who ridiculed their prized heritage, Jewish heritage and tradition. And that was not going to be acceptable at all. We read about that in verses 33 through 41 of this same chapter here, John chapter 8. And then I want us to come to the multitude in Jerusalem during the Passover. You'll remember those as we get into this story in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, and John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. They're parallel stories that we've come to refer as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If we're cold, you can turn that heat on, please. As Jesus approached, riding on a donkey, here's what the Scripture has to say. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. And many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the field, those who went in front. And those followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we see in John chapter 2 and verse 11, this beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Now, I want us to see that they believed, but we're still looking into this situation with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Did they really see Jesus? Now remember, the apostles were there. The disciples were there. They said they believed. Did they really see Jesus? Why did they give Him the kind of reception that they gave Him? It was because they expected Him to crown Himself as their king and deliver them from the Roman rule. That was what they thought. And that's the reason He got the reception that He did. And then, of course, we have the apostles here, as we've already looked at, where they say, we believe. This beginning of His signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, that is, showed His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. In this passage, John makes it clear that not only he, but the rest believed. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They understood that. But guess what? He also makes it clear in verses 19 through 22 of the same chapter that they did not truly see His nature and mission until after He had been resurrected from death. I want us to see that in John chapter 2, verse 19. This will be made very clear. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. Here's what they said in John 2, verse 22. So when He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered that He said this, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. They believed, but they didn't truly perceive. They truly didn't understand what Jesus came to do. And then, and only then, after He'd already been crucified and raised, did they remember what Jesus said and really understood. In Luke chapter 8, verse 25, we see the Scripture here says, they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him? Do you remember? Remember when He calmed the seas? And they're asking, who is it? They should have understood that immediately. But they're asking, who is it? Well, in John chapter 6, we see the apostles looking for a way to feed the 5,000, and they did not even consider the fact that Jesus could feed them. In Luke chapter 8, we see that they were worried about how they were going to feed this 4,000 people. And they'd already seen Jesus feed 5,000 once. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 20 is the record of Peter making the good confession. You'll remember that. He says, "Thou art Jesus, the Son of God." He made this great confession, but he shows then in these upcoming verses that he truly did not understand Christ's nature and mission. As we look and see what the Scriptures say here, Mark chapter 16, verses 22, he said, "Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you.'" He didn't understand. He acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God, but he didn't understand what Jesus came to this earth to do. He didn't fully appreciate His nature or His mission here on this earth. After the transfiguration, you'll remember in Mark chapter 9, Peter, James, and John demonstrate that they do not understand Christ's mission involving the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we see in Mark chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. As they were coming down from the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man rose from the dead. They seized upon that statement, discussing with one another what rising from the dead meant. Oh, they believed, but they really didn't see who Jesus was. And neither did the rest of the 12. They really didn't either. They didn't understand His mission. And we see that in Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. "For He was teaching His disciples and telling them, 'The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He has been killed, He will rise 3 days later.'" In verse 32, we read, "But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask Him." They didn't understand. So in conclusion this morning, I'd like to try to tie all this together and wrap it up for us. What was it that the people could not see about Jesus? They could not see that He was all-powerful. How in the world could you miss that? He performed miracles everywhere. The Scripture says He performed so many miracles that if they were written down in books, the world could not hold all of the books that would be written of the miracles that He performed. But they could not see how powerful Jesus was. They could not see that He must suffer and die and be resurrected. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see that He deserved to be treated with the utmost honor and respect. Especially the Pharisees couldn't see that. They couldn't see that He was a servant and how important it is, the example that He left us, His example of service. And they couldn't see that His kingdom was not of this world. They couldn't see these things. Now, the question then becomes is, why couldn't they see it? You see, they were there with Jesus. He was teaching them directly. They sat at His feet. They saw Him do all of these things. But they couldn't see it for some strange reason. So there's four primary reasons that I've identified that they couldn't. One is ignorance. They couldn't see it due to their ignorance. They couldn't see it due to their prejudice. They couldn't see it due to their small thinking. They couldn't see it due to the lack of their faith. They were ignorant of the full meaning of the prophecies concerning Christ. Oh, they had been taught the prophecies since they were children. As they grew up, they knew them by heart. But they couldn't understand the full meaning of those prophecies. They couldn't see Jesus for who He really was because of their prejudice. You see, they had formed in their own minds what the Savior was supposed to be like, what He was supposed to be, and this was their preconceived idea. And since that wasn't, He didn't fit their preconceived idea, they rejected Him completely because of their prejudice. And then they couldn't see Him because of their small thinking. Because of their small thinking, they watched Him actually feed 5,000 people and then feed 4,000 people and perform miracle after miracle after miracle. They watched Him raise Lazarus from the dead. But they could not recognize that Jesus Himself would be raised up from the dead due to their small thinking. And then, of course, and probably mostly, they couldn't see Jesus for who He was because they did not fully believe. They didn't have sufficient faith to believe in who Jesus really was and that He was the Son of the living God come down from heaven with a mission to be the perfect sinless sacrifice so that all mankind, if they would just simply accept God's holy word and be obedient to the gospel, that they could be saved by Jesus' perfect sacrifice and washed clean of their sins and seen just as though they had never sinned. You see, they didn't have enough faith in Jesus. Well, the question then is, what about us today? Are any of those things applicable today? Well, the reality is there are. Are there people today who are ignorant of what Jesus really is? Of who Jesus really was, what He did, what He expects? Absolutely, we know that for a fact. Are there people today that cannot see Jesus because of their prejudice, their preconceived ideas of Him, things they were either taught or things they decided in their own minds, and they can truly never see Jesus of the Bible? And what about those that thinking is so small, they can't see Jesus for who He is? Some think He's an angel, a created being. Some think other things even worse than that. Some even are skeptical whether Jesus ever lived, and if He did, He was just a man because of their small thinking. And then what about those that do not have the faith to believe who Jesus really is? We all know that there's people like that. They don't have sufficient faith to recognize Jesus for who He really was and the mission that He really came to this earth with. So finally, any sermon that doesn't bring you to a point that is applicable to each one of us is really of very little value. So my question this morning is do we really see Jesus? Do we truly see Jesus every day of our lives? Or do we just see Him on Sunday for an hour? Or do we really see Jesus as the Lord of our lives, every day of our lives? Who He really was, and how the fact that He lived He came down from heaven and was born of a miraculous birth with a special reason so He could be the perfect, sinless sacrifice to save man from spiritual death. Well, hopefully we are able to see some of these things. But I want us to think about that, and in future lessons we're going to explore more of this idea. If there's any here, and there's not everyone here that's Christian, so we won't offer that invitation. But we will say, if anyone would like prayers of the congregation, we ask you to come forward and make your wishes known. I'd like to ask